Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be back with you again today. If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 4, if you would, please. Good morning and hello. Salutations to everybody. Good to have everybody here this morning. Welcome to Easter or Resurrection Sunday 2025, you know. Praise God this morning. That's what we're here to celebrate, are we not? That's what we're here to celebrate about. Now, before I read scripture this morning, and I suppose you all know this, there's four major events that are cornerstones in Christianity. And I think we pretty much know all of them, do we not? One of them is the virgin birth, and we celebrate that at Christmas time. The next one is Resurrection Sunday, which we're celebrating today. The next one is the rapture of the church, which is coming here in the future. And the last one that we're looking forward to is when Jesus' second coming, whenever he comes to set up his kingdom here on this earth. Those are the four major cornerstones. This morning, I want to talk about the second one. I want to talk about Resurrection Sunday is what I want to get to this morning. And the essence of it can be captured in what was put up here earlier when it says, in three little words, and it says, he is risen. Plain and simple, but you know, he is risen. Christianity rises and falls upon that very simple phrase right there. Am I right? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if he hadn't arose from the dead, I'm telling you, you all might as well just close up your Bibles and go on home. Our faith is in vain here this morning. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, our teaching, our sermons, our singing, our praise, our testimony are all delusional. Amen? If he didn't raise from the, if he hadn't risen from the dead. You want to know the irony of it is, though? You want to know that? The best news, Greg, that we have ever received in our life come from a cemetery one day. Whenever they went there, it said, he is risen. That is the best news any of us could ever have. Bar none, it came from a cemetery one day. Isn't that awesome? Praise his name here this morning. Listen, the three words that shook the world, he is risen, are still shaking the world today, is still changing the hearts and the minds and the souls of individuals. I mean, I could just go on and on there. And if you want to know what Resurrection Sunday is, why it is truth, if you want to really understand why it is truth, you have to look no farther than the world out here today. And to the extent in which man tries to disprove the Bible and to disprove that Jesus lived, to disprove that he died, and to disprove that he rose again. The world doesn't fight. Now understand this. The world doesn't fight to get rid of the gospel of Santa Claus or the gospel of the Easter Bunny. The world will not fight that. The world doesn't fight to get rid of the books of Peter Pan and Moby Dick. We know they're fictional writings, but they don't fight to get rid of those. But people are put to death every day for telling the world that Jesus Christ lived, and that Jesus Christ died, and that he rose again, and he is the only way to salvation. People are put to death every day for that. Why such a farce? Why, if the Bible is such a farce, why do people fight so hard against it? Can anybody ever tell me that? If it's what they say, if they say it's a fairy tale, if they say it's something that's not true, then why would you fight to? Why are you out there fighting against it all the time? And the world does that. It's met with such vitriol. It really is. As the Bible is, because the word of all is the different cultures, is why it's fought against is because the word of God in all these cultures, they know it's the truth. They know it's the truth. And as Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says, I want you to mark this in your Bible sometime, it's infallible proof. That's what it says. Infallible proof that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what it tells us. I say amen to that. How about you this morning? Man alive, I'm thankful this morning. I haven't even got to start on the sermon yet. Praise God this morning. It is infallible proof this morning that he rose. And as we come together this morning to celebrate the greatest event in human history, I want us to understand, I would like to give some thoughts about what this day should mean to each and every born-again Christian this morning. I would like to give some thoughts on that. You see, the scriptures are full of infallible proof. The resurrection is all through the scriptures. It talks about it all through the mention of this day and why it's important to us. All right, if you're at Romans chapter 4, if you are able this morning, please stand. Let's read a couple of verses this morning, 24 and 25. Praise God this morning. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again, now get this, for our justification. Amen? Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to give you the thanks this morning, Lord. I want to praise you. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house on this beautiful morning, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ, that was willing to go to the cross. And that, Lord, that he did die and that he did raise on the third day. And praise God, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father this morning. And we want to give you all the glory and the honor for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Because of the Resurrection Sunday, God declares you are righteous this morning. He declares that. The word justification means to declare one righteous this morning. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. There wasn't a one of us. If you're saved tonight, you're saved because you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're sitting back there this morning and you are not saved, he died. We are sinners. You are a sinner this morning and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says there is not a just man. There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible also says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So how can God justify and declare us righteous, righteousness for those that are unrighteous? How can he do that? God took our sins. Now listen to this. And my sins and the sins of the entire world, God took every one of them. And you know what he did? He placed them upon the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's where he put those sins. Listen, in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says this, for he has made him to be sin for us, that who knew no sin. How many of you believe that Jesus was sinless? He was sinless, amen? He knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness to God in him. The only way that could happen, he suffered the full, complete wrath of God for you and I. Matthew 27, it says this in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land, and unto the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, when he was hanging on that cross, it said it became dark over. God could not look upon him. Could not look upon him because God had placed the sin of me and you and everybody else in this world upon Jesus Christ. And he died for those sins. And that is important. When God raised his son that first Easter morning, you know what God did? God declared, I'm satisfied. I accept the offering. How do I know? Why? The scripture declares it. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. He took that upon himself. Why would the world have a problem with that? Why should the world have a problem with that? God takes our sins and credits them and puts him upon Jesus' account. That's what he did. Think about that for a minute. That's why you and I can be declared righteous this morning. That's why you and I can be declared that this morning. But not only because of the work Jesus did on the cross. Praise God that he was willing to go to the cross. But you realize if he had not have risen on the third day, what he did on the cross would have been in vain. He did that for us. I praise the Lord this morning. I hope and pray that you can this morning as well, because I thank God for what he did and how he did it. Thank God. Listen, also, if there is no resurrection, then the entirety of Christianity is a hoax. It is a hoax. And we would have no hope outside of the life that you are living right now. In 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 20, it says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now listen to what verse 20 says. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. Because he is risen from the dead. This is not a hoax this morning. That means that the dead, and especially the resurrection of Christ, are the central point of all Christianity. That's what we base it all on. For the born-again Christian, listen to this. Because of the resurrection, we celebrate that this world, with all its problems, is not our final home. Amen. Mary, I'm glad I don't have to put my hope in 18 Medina Road. I'm glad I don't put my hope in that this morning. I put my hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we have an eternal home with Christ to look forward to. Praise God this morning. I mean, you know, we could talk, and all of us could sit down, and Greg, we could talk about every one of the problems we've had in our lives. Every one of us could do it. But you know what? We can also come to a consensus on that one day we won't have to worry about any of it one day. Amen. Praise his name this morning. I am thankful for Resurrection Sunday. Amen. You know, because of the resurrection, God the Father had a righteous basis to do what? Upon which to forgive us of our sins. Did you know that? Because of the resurrection, God the Father had the basis to which me and you can be saved this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. It says, I'm not going to read 1 through 4, but I want to give you a little synopsis of it. It tells us about the gospel in the first few verses of that. And in that Christ died for our sins. And in verse 4 it says this: and that he was buried and he rose again the third day. That's what it says. And that if you believe that gospel, if you believe that, it says God can save you because he has a righteous basis upon which to save your soul this morning. He has that. Now understand, God is love, right? God is great, God is mercy, but God is righteous, God is holy, and God is just. So a loving God cannot forgive you unless your sins have been paid for. Because you know why? You deserve to be hanging on that cross instead of him. There had to be a payment for sin. A gracious God cannot pardon you unless someone else has endured the penalty for your sins. Listen, as much as I love you, I'm not going to stand here and endure the penalty of the cross for your sins. As much as I love my family. But guess who did? Jesus Christ did. He did it. So Jesus died for our sins, rose again, so that God the Father might have grounds upon which to forgive you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. You know what that means? That means he rose again. He's put to death in the flesh, but he rose again in the spirit for our sins. Quickened means to make alive again. This is important to understand. It's very important to understand this. If Jesus had not risen from the grave, his sacrifice on the cross would not have been any different than the yearly sacrifices that they made back in that time. Why? Because you know what? If he hadn't arisen, it wouldn't have been no different than taking the lamb out there and sacrificing it to cover the sins of the people back then. Jesus was that one once and for all. He was the one that did it once and for all. Jesus, in Hebrews 10:10, by thee which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's it. That's all he had to do it. Because of the resurrection, this is so awesome. The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave in the tomb to conquer death, hell, and the grave is given to a Christian the moment that they are saved. Amen? Amen. It's given to every Christian the moment that you're saved. Hey, Romans 8:11 says it. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. The moment you're saved, you get the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. That should make you shout the house down here this morning. The moment you invite Jesus into your heart, you are delivered from that spiritual death. Amen. With the Holy Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ was. Christ's resurrection can justify you before God, make you spiritually alive the moment of your conversion. So simply limiting the accomplishments of Christ's resurrection to, you know what, to saving you so you can, when you die, you can go to heaven. That's awesome. But you know what? The limiting the resurrection to just that, we miss out on so much. We miss out on so much, not including right now, that we have spiritual life. And we have it what? Say it with me, more abundantly. That's what the Bible says. We have life and have it more abundantly. We are really not doing the resurrection of Christ justice if we do not believe that here this morning. Because of the resurrection, you and I will also one day come forth from the grave. You know what? The Bible promises that. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I read that a little bit ago. What's the first fruits of them that slept? He was the first one to rise from the dead. Guess who's going to be some other ones that's going to rise from the dead? Amen. You're a Christian here this morning. One day, if you're dead and in that grave one day, whenever he comes and blows that trumpet one day, you are going to be those that's going to come up out of that grave one of these days. You're going to be come out of there with a glorified body, and you're going to be and your spirit's going to meet that glorified body, and thus you're going to be with the Lord forever. Jesus was the first, even though they may lay those bodies in the ground one day. I want you to understand that the trumpet's going to sound. And every Christian will answer the call. Over in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be with the Lord, and forever be with the Lord. Isn't that awesome, Scripture? Isn't that awesome? Because of the resurrection, salvation is free to all. I know this; it's free to all. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. Let's begin reading in verse 18. I think this is important. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Say amen when you get there. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in gold. Might be in God. Can I tell you something this morning? All the gold in this world, and all the silver in this world, and all the money in this world you would not be able to buy your salvation from God. You can't. You, all of it, you would not be able to. You cannot buy forgiveness. But Jesus shed his precious blood, the most precious commodity, on the cross, his sinless blood. And you know what? The only thing that can produce salvation is that. When he arose from the dead, God the Father said, I accept that payment. Nothing else but the blood of Jesus is good enough to buy our salvation. The song says of Beth, best, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's it. Nothing else can. So today, April 18th, 2025, can I ask, is anyone here in the world who would believe that Jesus died for their sins and not just that Jesus died? You understand that? You got to believe more that Jesus just died. You got to believe that when he died for your sins as well. That's what you got to believe. Because Jesus died, that's a historical fact. Jason mentioned it this morning. There's literature out there, secular literature, that talks about Jesus. It's the fact that he lived and that he died, that's a fact. Praise God. And he rose again for their justice. The only way that I can be saved in the eyes of God is to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and the work that he did. Also, once you're saved, the resurrection of Jesus gives the Christian the power to deliver us from the hold that sin has on you. This is important this morning. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And it says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in newness of life. What's that telling us? Christ dead and was buried and rose again. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior in God's counting, you have died with Christ, you've been buried with Christ, and you have risen with Christ by God's accounting. Did Christ rise from the dead so he could sin? No. Did he? No. No, he didn't. My Bible tells me he was sinless. That's what it tells me about him. Have you been given new life so you can sin? No. Even so, we should also walk in the newness of life. That's what it's telling us. We do not have to, through the power of the resurrection, we can walk in newness of life. Sin does not have to have a hold on you. We don't have to continue in the sin business. We walk in newness of life. Because of the resurrection, we don't have to live in the bondage and the harmful practice of sin anymore. And the behaviors of sin. This is important. Listen, there's more. You could go through there. Because he has risen from the dead, we have all this that we can put our hope and our trust in. Praise God this morning. I am thankful this morning that Jesus Christ rose from the grave that day. I'm thankful that he lives in my heart this morning. And they're going to get a song here in a minute. Belinda, if you want to come up and get a song ready, please. You know, and I want to ask everybody in here, because you know this in your heart this morning. I don't know. I don't know the hearts of anybody here this morning. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. Jesus knows your heart this morning, and God knows your heart. Can you guys do? He's alive. And he knows your heart this morning. And if he knows your heart this morning, he knows where you stand. You and him know where you stand. I'm not up here to judge you. And if I open up this altar and you come up here this morning, I'm asking you this morning, if you come this morning, what a beautiful day to receive Jesus into your heart. What a beautiful day for him to bring that life into you this morning, like it did some 2,000 years ago. Praise his name this morning. If they stand and get a song, let's sing this morning.